الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue this evening بإذن الله تعالى Our readings in the treatise القواعد الأربع By the great Imam الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى In our previous class, we were reading from Al-Qa'ida Al-Thalitha. Al-Qa'ida Al-Thalitha, the third principle. The third principle, the author, he mentioned, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ظهر على أناس متفرقين في عباداتهم منهم من يعبد الملائكة ومنهم من يعبد الأنبياء والصالحين ومنهم من يعبد الأشجار والأحجار ومنهم من يعبد الشمس والقمر وقاتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يفرق بينهم والدليل قوله تعالى وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله And then he mentioned after this the proof for each and every issue as we read in our previous class the author he says that verily the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم With the third principle from the four principles clarifying the difference between the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of the mushrikeen of his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difference between the deen of al-tawheed and the deen of al-shirk. In the third principle, the author, he mentions that verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a people and they differed in their objects of worship. مُتَفَرِّقِينَ فِي عِبَادَاتِهِمْ أي فِي مَعْبُودَاتِهِمْ That they differ in their objects of worship. From amongst them there are those who worship angels. And from amongst them there are those who worship prophets and the righteous. From amongst them there are those who worshiped the trees and the stones. And from amongst them there are those who worship the sun and the moon. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fought all of them. He fought all of them. And he did not make any difference. He did not differentiate between any of them. He did not differentiate between any of them. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى And the evidence for this, قَاتِلُوهُمْ وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً And fight them. And fight them all until there is no fitnah. وَيُكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ And the religion will be entirely and purely for Allah. The religion will be entirely and purely for Allah. We've seen some of the benefits with regards to this principle in our previous class. Who can remind us of what the author, the principle he's establishing here? The main point of mentioning this and its relationship to the previous principles. Aywa. Ahsant. This is what the author is establishing in the third principle. Ahsant. Nam, that the reality is not about what is being worshipped, but the ruling of disbelief is ascribed to the one who associates partners. The one who gives some of the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, or associates partners with the sole right of Allah Azza wa Jal in worship, no matter what that partner is. No matter what that partner is, then this is considered shirk. This is considered shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether that partner that they associate with or that they direct some of their worship to besides Allah Azza wa Jal is righteous and pious or is beloved and close to Allah Azza wa Jal like an angel or is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal like a prophet or if it is from the righteous and the pious and the upright or even if it is something that is in an inanimate object, like a stone, or the likes like this, it's all the same. The ruling is one. The ruling is one. There's no difference between the one who associates partners with Allah in worship with an angel or a rock. The ruling is one. It's disbelief, kufr, shirk, billahi azza wa jal. This is the issue here that the author is establishing. Why? What's the importance of understanding this here? What did we benefit? To know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a people. We review. These are very important principles. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a people who believed in Allah. He came to his people, and the people that he lived with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believed in Allah. They believed that Allah is the creator and the sustainer and the one who gives life and gives death. They believed that Allah, he sends the rain from the sky. But although with this belief, they did not become Muslim. And they were not safe. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fought them. He fought them until they left where they accepted Islam. The mushrikun. This was the case with them. They had the belief of al-rububiyyah and the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they say Allah. Allah, he said this in his book in more than one place. In more than one place. If you ask them who has the ability to give sight and hearing, they will say Allah. They will say Allah. They themselves, they believe that. They themselves, they believe that. But although they have this belief, they did not become Muslim. They did not enter into the fold of Islam because they associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. What was the reality of this association? They were taking intercessors and mediators. They worshipped idols besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They took their idols as intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shufa'a. يَكُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They say that these are our intercessors. مَا نَعْبُدُوهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We don't worship them only to draw us near to Allah. And they only use them as a means to get near to Allah Azza wa Jal. This was their claim. This was their claim. Yeah, Allah mentioned this about them in their book, in his book, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That they worship their idols, not believing that they create, not believing that they sustain or provide, not believing that they bring harm alone or help alone, but rather believing that there are a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, or likewise to be taken far away from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say they take them as mediators. They take them as mediators and they took them as intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. This was the case. Those people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to. Now in the third principle, this is the summarization of the first two principles. In the third principle, the author, what does he say here? That those people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to, those people that believed this belief, and those people that took their idols and their gods besides Allah Azza wa Jalla as intercessors and mediators, that they did not have one God that they did this with. Rather, they all had different gods. They differed in their objects of worship. So they had this creed and they had this belief, but not all with one particular type of object. Not one ilah. Rather, they had aliha, different types. Some of them, they worshiped the stars, or the moon, or the sun. Some of them, they worshiped trees. Some of them, they worshiped rocks. They worshiped them, thinking that they would draw them near to Allah. Some of them, they worship prophets and angels. This was the way of those people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كانوا متفرقين في عباداتهم. نعم, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لم يفرق بينهم وقاتلهم جميعا. The Prophet, he didn't differentiate between any of them. He fought them all together. He fought them all together. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he told him, وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة. Fight them all until there is no fitna. What does the word fitna mean in this verse? Does the ulama have mentioned? Ashirk. The meaning of fitna, the word fitna has many different meanings. The context will declare the meaning and the understanding of the salaf. The salaf, they mentioned the meaning of shirk here. The fitna here, shirk. So qatilu wa qatiluhum hatta la tukunu fitna, hatta la yukun shirk. Wa yukun ad-deenu kulluhu lillah. Until the religion will be entirely for Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't make no difference between them. So this was the case of the deen of the mushrikeen, those who were in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now everybody's on the right page, huh? Our minds are refreshed. What's the benefit in knowing this? How can we apply this today? The imam, when did he die? Huh? Huh? Twelve? Huh? 1204? Six. 1206. 1206. He died 1206 years after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's coming 1206 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah. So he's coming over 1100 somewhat years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and then he's telling us this. This is what the mushrikun were upon at that time. Why? Why is it so important for us to know this? So we can protect our tawheed, because the reality is that the ummah, many of those that ascribe to Islam today, they have fallen into the same shirk. Many of the Muslims, they have fallen into the same shirk, that they are taking others along with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship. They're worshipping besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They're worshipping others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And they're taking them as intercessors, and they're taking them as mediators. And this is what was occurring in the time of the Imam, and is still occurring until this day. There are people, we're not talking about now people in general, we're talking about now Muslims. Until this day, there are Muslims, and they ascribe to Islam, and they worship prophets. I've seen it with my eyes. We mentioned this before. Worshipping Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read dua that they have written. We read it. They said in their dua and their adhkar that they have, they say they are the slaves of Muhammad. They have adhkar. They're reading their adhkar, and then in the adhkar it says they are the slaves of Muhammad. We read it. Here in this masjid, alhamdulillah, we see that today there are people who ascribe to Islam, they worship prophets. There are people who ascribe to Islam, and they worship righteous people. They worship righteous people. Today, alive right now, they pray, and they make hajj. They give zakat, and they fast in Ramadan, and they worship righteous people. They worship righteous people. There are others, we keep going, there are those today who ascribe to Islam, they worship trees. They worship trees. They believe that there's trees that can bring children for the woman that is barren. They have this belief. They go there for their needs to trees. In certain countries, there are trees, and the Muslim women will go there. Some trees, some of them, they have a sap that comes, and they believe that it has barakah and blessing. They worship it besides Allah Azza wa Jal. If you ask them, what are you doing? How can you worship the Prophet? Or how can you worship Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the righteous, the graves? How can you worship the tree? What do they say? مَا نَعْبُدُوهُمْ. We're not worshipping them. مَا نَعْبُدُوهُمْ. We're not worshipping them. What are we doing? What do they say? وَلَا يَشُفَعَوْنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. We're taking them as intercessors. They say, we have sins. We have this, we have that. But he is righteous, the wadi. The wadi in the grave, he's righteous. He has a higher rank and status with Allah. He's a servant and slave of Allah. Allah loves him. He will draw me near to Allah. He will intercede on my behalf. So that's what they're doing. So then what do we say? They're doing the same thing that the mushrikun of the time of the Prophet were doing. There's no different. It's no difference. It's the exact same thing. So the author, he's clarifying this so that a believer, he can be aware and he can stay away from it. لَعَلَّهَا أَنْ يُخَلِّصَكَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّبَكَ عَدَتِهِ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ. Like the author, he said, then hopefully Allah will free you from this trap, from this snare, from this web, which is shirk, associating partners with Allah. وَذَلِكَ بِمَعْرِفَةِ أَرْبَعِ كُوَعِدْ ذَكَرَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِ. That will be by learning these four principles that Allah has mentioned in His book. So here the author, he's clarifying and refuting now. After we come this way, when we see that this was the way of the people of that time, and if, for example, if we see somebody who's worshipping the grave, even sometimes what do they do? They make tawaf around the grave. Some of them they slaughter for the grave. Some of them they even have more honor for the one in the grave that they will lie. This is something known. The ulama, they mention that these people that have their hearts attached to the graves, and the people in the graves, they will swear by Allah and lie. There's even ahkam about this. The ulama, they've spoken about the ruling of fiqh about this. There are people who will lie. But they'll say, wallahi, but he'll lie. But he will not swear by the grave and lie. He will not swear by the grave and lie, or by the wadi and lie. He's afraid of him. He's afraid of him, this type of fear. The secret fear, he will never swear by the, because maybe he will harm him. Or maybe he will not help him. Or the likes like this. But wallahi, he can say that all day long. Wallahi, 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 and lie. Like this. So this is the one that is like this. He has the shubha. We tell him, look, the Prophet ﷺ, he came to these people. They had this belief, but they associated partners. They took them as intercessors. And then here, they have a shubha, right, at this point. They say, no. These verses are not regarding us. These verses don't, what you're talking about, this is talking about the mushrikun. They're worshipping stones. They're worshipping rocks. We're not worshipping rocks. We're seeking intercession from the righteous and from the pious, the people that are near to Allah. This is their shubha, what they have. We understand that? If we tell them, the person who worshipped the grave, I mean, this is one of the major problems in the ummah, because of ignorance, that the Muslims have fallen into shirk. Many of them, from grave worship, having their heart attached to the people in the grave. They claim that they're awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Some of them may be. So this shubha here, it really needs to be refuted. It needs to be clarified. This is the author, he wrote this. So that's what they say. They say we're not worshiping them. We're seeking intercession with them. There are means for us to bring us close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. There are means for us to bring us close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's what they believe. The Sufiya, that's what they believe. That's what the ones who worship the graves, and that's what they believe. They don't believe that the guy in the grave, he creates, or that he sustains alone like this, but they believe he's an intercessor, just like those mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam believed. So here we tell them this. This is shirk, you can't do that. And what do they say? What is their shubha? No, I'm not worshipping them. I'm seeking intercession. They're a means for me. They're a mediator for me. They're righteous. They're pious. They're near to Allah. Allah loves them. They're beloved to Allah. They will bring me close to Allah. So I draw near to them to draw me near to Allah. This is their shubha. So in order to break that, to destroy that, and to remove that doubt from their minds, and from the mind of anyone that may have the doubt of this intercession, then we see the intercession has been removed here, but it's not specific to stones. It's not specific to idols, like they say. So I'm not worshipping him. This is with regards to stones. They were worshipping stones. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they had idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he cracked the idols. He destroyed the idols. They're idols from stone. I'm not worshipping. That's shirk, no doubt about that. They don't differ about that. The difference is here, that these are righteous people, or these are prophets, or whatever the case may be like this. So here the author, he's clarifying. Here again, the principle is so beneficial to memorize. Even if you have trouble in Arabic, memorize the English. The Prophet ﷺ, he came to a people that differed in their objects of worship. He came to a people who differed in their objects of worship. And the things that they worship, they're different. The things that they worship, they're different. From them, there are those, as the author says, they worship prophets, just like these people. From them, there are those who worship righteous, just like these people. From them, there are those who worship trees, just like some of these people here that ascribe to Islam. They say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And from them, there are those who worship stones. And from them, there are those who worship the moon. And from them, those who worship the stars and the moon, the sun and the moon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fought all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fought all of them, and he did not make any difference between them. He did not make any difference between them. So the reality is, the to know what is ibadah. If the action or the statement is ibadah, it must be for Allah alone, whatever the deed is. If the action is or the statement is affirmed in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that it's ibadah, it's considered an act of ibadah, statement or action, whether it's an outward or an inward statement or action. If it's affirmed that it's an act of worship, it must be for Allah alone. And to direct part of that to something other than Allah, no matter what it is. A prophet, an angel, a rock, a stone, it's all the same. That's called shirk. So it doesn't matter if one is worshipping or calling on, besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, a man or a stone, it's all the same. An angel or a prophet, it's all the same. A tree or the stars, it's all the same. It's shirk. It's associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. This is the point of this principle here. This is the point of this principle here, to understand that there's no difference. Shirk is to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. Taswiyat Allah Azza wa Jalla. And to make equals with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. with the creation, to associate partners, to share a part of that worship. This is considered shirk. The author, he mentioned here, mutafarriqin. There was a benefit likewise that we mentioned about that. Mutafarriqin. This is indicating something about the people of shirk. They're differing about the things that they worship. There's something about this that indicates the usul of shirk. They're never united. The people of shirk are never united. The people of shirk, they cannot unite because they have different objects of worship. They'll never be from the outcome of shirk, and from the filth of shirk is that the people will never be united. Similar like that, even from inside the deen, similar like that, not shirk, but also those people who, on the other hand, that's with regards to ikhlas. Sah? Similar like that with regards to al-mutaba'ah. Huh? The people of innovation and the people of desires and whims, they also will never be united. The only way to be united is to be upon al-tawheed wa sunnah. Huh? And even then, the people will not be united just claiming that likewise. Rather, there's a criterion that clarifies who's really upon tawheed and sunnah. And that is the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih. Because the one who blows himself up in the mall, and the one who stabs the people in the bus and claiming that he's in jihad in his town and likes this, he says Quran, Sunnah, Quran, Sunnah. The one who danced around saying who, 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 and those guys spinning around in circles, what do they say? They don't say Quran and something else. They say Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. So the only way to be safe from iftiraq, like the mushrikeen at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to be upon tawheed and sunnah, with the understanding of the salaf of the ummah. This is the way. This is the way. This is the goal of a believer, to know that, to learn that, and to be upon that, regardless of what the people say about him. So long as a person is upon that, alhamdulillah, he has all khair. Alhamdulillah, he has all khair. No matter if the people like him or don't like him. He knows this is the truth. This is Quran. This is Sunnah. This is understanding of Abu Bakr, Uthman and Ali, Abdullah ibn Abbas and the rest of them, radiallahu anhum jami'an, the understanding of the Sahaba. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is khair. Al-khayru kullu. Naam. So the author, he is clarifying this. They're mutafarriqeen fi ibadatihim. That they, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not distinguish between them. Rather, he fought all of them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned again two types of evidences. Who can remember? For this issue here, the author, he mentioned two types of evidences. Actually, he mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 proofs from the Quran and one hadith. But from the aspect of al-istidlal, or using evidence from the book and the sunnah to support an issue, the author, he used two types of evidences. لا. It's all it's verses from Quran and Sunnah.
For the third principle?
For the third principle, now here in the principle we're on. Two types of evidences. It's beneficial for a believer to be aware of this. He mentioned all of these evidences. There's several. From the Quran, he mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses or 6 evidences from the Quran, and one hadith. But the evidences are different in the manner that they are used. And how is the Prophet? Excuse me. How is the Imam using these evidences? He's bringing evidence specifically. Ring a bell?
Every group that you are defining the objects of worship, each one they worship in the author bring the specific group for the one who worships.
Specific, sir. But the way the author, first, what is the first verse he used? قاتلوا من هم قاتلوهم يعني جميعا كل من أشرك بالله قاتلوا. This is general proof. This is a general proof. Now the evidences are two types. There are general proofs that many issues can fall under them. It could be applied to many realities. And then there are specific proofs. So here with this particular issue, the author, he mentioned both types of evidence. He mentioned that he began with a general proof. A general proof that all of this is included here. You can mention anything that's worshipped besides Allah. And that anything that's worshipped besides Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, he fought them. And the proof here is قَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. Fight them all until there's no fitna, no shirk. And وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. Until the religion is entirely for Allah. So this is general. Fight them all. And he fight them all. With the one who worship a stone, the one who worship a prophet, the one who worship a tree, the one who worship the sun, the one who worship the moon, whatever they worship, the one who worship a jinn. He didn't mention jinn, but there are those who worship jinns also. That's also established in the book as well. So this all included here in this verse. This is an all-encompassing proof, yani a general proof. دليل عام على هذه المسألة. It's a general proof. وقاتلوهم, yani all of them. And then after that, just to remove any doubts likewise, there is a specific proof for every one of them. Each one that he mentioned. Then he began, وَدَلِيلُ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. وَدَلِيلُ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. What does that mean? And the proof for the moon, the sun and the moon. But what does that mean though? The proof about what? There's another text the author he has. He says, وَدَلِيلُ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. وَدَلِيلُ, and he mentioned this verse, excuse me. This here, yeah, the وَدَلِيلُ أَنَّهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. The evidence that they're worshipping the sun and the moon is this verse here. So that's what it means. The dalil, any dalil that they have, that there are those in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they worship the sun and the moon. This verse right here. What does Allah say? He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. This is from the balagha and the beauty and the perfection and the magnificence of the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. That in reality, this verse here, the author, he's using it to establish the fact that there were people in the time of the Prophet who worshipped the sun and the moon. But in another text, the author, he used the same verse as a proof for the fact that Allah is the Lord. فَإِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ رَبُّكَ وَبِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ فَقُولْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُوقَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُوقَاتِهِ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. والدليل, he mentioned this verse here. This is a proof for the, this is the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. From his signs. From the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning from the signs of the greatness of Allah, from the signs of the magnificence of Allah, from the sign of the power of Allah, from the sign of the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has authority and that He has strength and wisdom and power and knowledge of all things, is the night and the day and the sun and the moon. So this is here, all, again, if we go back to some of the previous classes in this particular text, that Allah Azza wa Jal, how does He establish His right to be worshipped? By clarifying His rububiyyah, by calling the people to ponder on His lordship. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from His signs. From His signs, look around you. اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ, the night and the day. How beneficial is the night and beneficial is the day. And they are different. And they're changing. And they're chasing each other rapidly and they never catch either. This one never catches that one. This one, the night, it never catches the day. And the day, it never catches the night. And they continue like this in alternation. And every day is a new day. And every night is a new night. And the actions of tonight are not the actions of last night. And this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the end, all of these nights and days and the actions that are done inside of them, they're going to be held accountable. The people will be held accountable for those actions. The actions they perform in the nighttime and the actions they perform in the daytime. And likewise, in every single night, Allah Azza wa Jal, He stretches His hands out for those who sinned in the daytime to repent. And every single night, it's a new night. He stretches out His hands in the nighttime for those who sinned in the daytime. Like this, every single, this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, from His greatness, from His right to be worshipped. And likewise, the sun. You see how far the sun away, how far the sun is, but how beneficial it is. How beneficial it is for the life of the human being. And likewise, the moon. How beneficial it is. Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's a sign of His greatness. It's a sign of His existence. The moon is hanging there in space, in the sky, not with a string. How is it staying there? How does it stay there? Why does it fall on our head? Huh? Min ayatihi. It's from His signs. The signs of what? Min ayati kudratihi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azamatihi wa jalalihi. The signs of His greatness and His power. وسلطانه سبحانه وتعالى and that he أنه يستحق العبادة, that he's worthy of worship, that he's worthy of worship. من آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر. This is not why the author he mentioned particularly here to establish this. Rather, he mentioned it to show لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. But Allah عز وجل, He's clarifying that from His signs, He created the heavens and the earth, and He created the stars and the sun and the moon. And they are great creations. And no one can create the like of them, and no one can sustain them, and no one can provide for them, and no one can bring the night if He doesn't bring the night, and no one can bring the day if He doesn't bring the day. And no one will see another day except for by His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one will see another day except for by His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then what? لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Don't prostrate to the sun and not to the moon. Don't prostrate to the creation. Don't bow down to a creation. Rather, وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Worship. Rather, prostrate before the one who created them, if it's Him whom you truly worship. So the author, he's mentioning this here to clarify that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are people who worship the sun and the moon. Allah, He mentioned this verse to clarify for that. Those people who worship the sun and the moon, don't do that. Don't do that. That's from His signs. These are from His signs of His greatness. Don't worship the sun and the moon. Rather, worship the one who created them. Worship the one who created them. Again, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is clarifying that the one who has the right to be worshipped is the one who has the rububiyyah. The one who has the right to be worshipped is the one who creates all things. The one who has the right to be worshipped is the one who gave everything its shape and its form. The one who has the right to be worshipped is the one who has provided for all things. Has provided for all things. The one who has the right to be worshipped is the one who is alive and he has no beginning. And the one who is alive and he has no ending. The one who is alive and he never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the one that's worthy of worship. لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Don't prostrate to the sun and nor to the moon. So here the author, he is clarifying that at that time there were people who worshipped the sun and the moon. Because of this, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned this in His book. He mentioned this prohibiting them. Don't do that. Rather prostrate before Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who created them. So here this is the aspect of the proof of the author. But from the beauty of the Quran is there's so many evidences in this one verse. Evidence of His glory and His lordship, evidences of His rububiyyah, and then evidence of His right to be worshipped. Also a proof against those who worship the sun and the moon, that the sun and the moon is not worthy of worship, and that their worship is falsehood, because Allah Azza wa Jalla created the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon are from His kingdom and His dominion and under His authority and command, and they are a creation that is provided for. So they're not worthy of worship. So this is from the eloquence of the Quran. But the author, his intention is to clarify that there is no, and this here, that there were people who worshiped the sun and the moon. That's the evidence here. In Usulah Thalatha, he it's clarified in the Rububiyyah. The same verse, clarifying the Rububiyyah in Usulah Thalatha. If it's asked, who is your Lord? Or how do you know your Lord? Yeah, he'll mention this verse is a proof to how you know your Lord. This verse right here is also a proof of how you know your Lord. But here, it's a proof that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people used to worship the sun and the moon. People used to worship the sun and the moon. There's a narration in Sahih Muslim from Abasa, Amr ibn Abasa, As-Sulami radiyallahu anhu. He said, he's mentioning a narration about, it's kind of a long narration about the Uqat al-Salat, the times of the prayer, the times of the prayer. And he says, and he's mentioning that, and he's speaking about the Fajr prayer. He says, ثُمَّ the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, ثُمَّ صَلِّ الصَّلَاةَ السُّبْحِ ثُمَّ أَقْصِرْ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ حَتَّى تَتْلُعِ الشَّمْسِ. He said, pray whenever the Fajr rises, pray the Fajr prayer, and then stop praying until the sun rises. نعم حَتَّى تَتْلُعِ الشَّمْسُ حَتَّى تَرْتَفِعِ. Until the sun rises, and then it rises above the horizon. And then he says, فَإِنَّهَا تَطْرُعُ حِينَ تَطْرُعُ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, verily, that the sun, whenever it rises, it cracks the horizon, it's rising between the two horns of shaitan. It's rising between the two horns of a shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying this. This is in Sahih Muslim. He says, وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَسْجُدُ لَهَا الْكُفَارِ. And at that time, the kuffar, they prostrate to the sun. At that time, the kuffar, they prostrate to the sun. Affirming that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he was aware. He was aware that in his time there were people who prostrated to the sun. Who prostrated to the sun. And they worshipped the sun. And it's been mentioned that the statement of the Prophet that verily the sun it rises. Also he mentioned a similar ruling, almost exactly the same wording with regards to Asr. Whenever the sun is setting, that it sets between the horns of shaitan. And also he said that at this time the kuffar, they prostrate. And another narration in Sunan Abi Dawood, وَيُصَلِّي يُصَلِّي لَهَا الْكُفَارِ. At that time, the kuffar, they pray at that time for, and he pray to the sun. And another narration in Nisa'i, وَتِلْكَ صَلَاتُ الْكُفَارِ. This is the salat of the kuffar at that time, whenever it's setting and whenever it's rising. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said it's setting or rising between the two horns of shaitan. Meaning some of the ulama, they mentioned that in reality at that time, the shaitan, he goes to that position so that whenever those people are worshipping the sun, he's there and it's actually like they're worshipping him. It's actually like they're worshipping him. And he's there for this, to partake in that. And likewise at this time, they have the ability to cause much evil in the lands. But in any case, it's clear. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are those people who worship the sun. There are people, those people who worship, they worship the sun. Likewise, the author, he mentioned, وَالدَّلِيلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for the malaika. And what does that mean? The evidence that, here the issue, we have to stay focused with the author. The evidence that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are people who worship angels. There are the evidence for the fact that they worship angels. In the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قوله تعالى, وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا. An ayat. He says, and he does not command you to take angels and prophets besides him as lords. Angels and prophets besides him as lords. And this is something that was established, that they would say that. And they said that about the prophets. And even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he mentioned here, the next proof, وَدَلِيلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence that they worship the anbiya is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بِنَ مَرْيَمَ. And whenever Allah, he said, O Isa ibn Maryam, son of Maryam, alayhi salam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ. Did you say, لِلنَّاسِ, to the people, اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you tell the people, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two gods besides Allah? Did he say that? The ulama, they mentioned a benefit here, and they say that here Isa, he didn't say, or Allah, he didn't say here, did you say, لِلنَّاسِ, اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ رَبَّيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, to take me as two lords besides Allah? Why? But he said, إِلَهَيْنِ. Because they believe in the rububiyyah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned specifically ilahaini. Did you tell them to take me and you and your mother as ilahaini, two ilahs, two gods besides Allah? He didn't say rabbaini, because in this time they believed that Allah was the Rabb, as has already been established. They believed that Allah is the Lord and the Creator and the Sustainer and the Provider, but they worshipped Him besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, mentioning the Islam. The word ilah means God. And Allah is asking Isa alayhi salam. He says, Allah will call and say to Isa ibn Maryam. He said, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two ilahs besides Allah? So the ulama, they mentioned that here it doesn't say, and he mentioned the word ilah, two ilahs, two gods besides Allah. But he didn't mention the word Rabb. Take me as two Rabb, take me and my mother as Rabbaini min dunillah. It specifically mentioned here, ilah. This is affirming the principle that the author has established in the beginning, that they believe in the rububiyyah of Allah. They didn't believe that Isa was the Rabb, that He was the Lord and the Creator and the Sustainer and the Provider. They believed that And he was their intercessor. They worship him in this manner, not in that manner, that he is the creator, that he is the provider and the sustainer. So this is indicated here in the verse. أَقُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ تَخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ. He didn't say رَبَّيْنِ. Because they have already, they established the rububiyyah. They believe in rububiyyah. As is the first principle. They believe in rububiyyah. But their issue is with what? Al-uluhiyyah. With al-uluhiyyah wal-ibadah. Wal-uluhiyyah wal-ibadah. Wal-ibadah. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about the first verse, the one that the author, he mentioned with regards to the malaika. But in actuality, this verse is a verse for the malaika and the nabiyyin. The one is in Surah Ali Imran. وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ مَنْ تَتَخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا. He does not command you to take the angels and the prophets. But here, this one is included in both of them. But the author, he mentioned a specific dalil for each issue. Even after that. This verse here is a proof for the angels and the prophets. It's mentioned directly here. And he does not command you to take the angels and the prophets as lords besides Allah Azza wa Jal. But along with that, he even mentioned another proof. And this one he uses specifically for the angels. The next proof is specific for the prophets. So he's mentioning specific proofs now. So here this proof here, وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا. And he would never command you, and a prophet, someone who has revelation, will never command you to take the angels and the prophets as lords besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. Would never command you to take prophets and lords, prophets and angels as lords besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. The verse continues, أَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Would he command you with disbelief after you have been Muslims? Would he command you with disbelief after he has been Muslims? So, after you have been Muslims. So, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about this, يعني, وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ بِعِبَادَةِ أَحَدٍ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَا نَبِيٍّ مُرْسَلٍ وَلَا مَلَكٍ مُخَرَّبٍ. He said that Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he died in the year 774. He said, meaning that no prophet would ever, or somebody who has revelation would ever, command with the worship besides Allah. Not a Nabi, Mursal, or Malik, Muqarrab. We heard, who knows these two words from some other text? Surah Thalatha. So this verse here is a proof for this, as I mentioned, with regards to the angels and the prophets. Ibn Kathir, he died about 700 years before the author. Approximately 700 years before the author. He understood this verse here, that it means that here's a proof it's not permissible to worship anyone. Not an angel, Malakul Muqarrab, wala Nabiyul Mursal. And not even, these are from the best of creation, a near angel, or a prophet that has been sent, a prophet and a messenger. But the issue here is that we see that the author, he is right on the path of the Salaf. That this is like a treasure. Whenever you find this Imam, he died in 1206. And then you read the text of the Salaf before him. They died 700 years before him, approximately. Many years, 600 years before him, they mentioned the same thing. They mention the same thing. And this is also a good refutation for those people who claim that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab came with a new deen. You say he didn't come with a new deen, but Ibn Kathir, that great mufassir. You confess to the greatness of Imam ibn Kathir, al-Hafiz ibn Kathir. Naam. He mentioned the same thing in his book. That's not permissible to worship anything, even the same wording. Rather, most likely the Imam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he got the wording from here. Or from the Salaf in this manner. He's on the way of the Salaf. He's on the path. He's on the path in the chain of the Salaf al-Salih, following the way of the ulama of the Salaf. And this is his case. Even in the words that he selects and uses in his texts. As we have seen likewise in the beginning, he had used some of the words and the benefit from another imam who died around the same time. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. Almost exactly from the same text of some of the words of al-imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, so the author, he continues to mention the evidences detailed, specific. وَدَلِيلُ الصَّالِحِينَ. And the evidence that there are those people who worship the righteous in that time. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. The statement of Allah the Most High. أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ الْوَسِيلَةَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. That the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who they call on, Meaning besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, themselves, they seek nearness to their Lord. Themselves are seeking nearness to their Lord. Which one will be the nearest, hoping for His mercy and fearing His punishment. One of the meanings or the ulama have mentioned that from the reason of the revelation of this verse is that there were people who worshipped the jinn. There were people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they worshipped a group of the jinn. And then those jinn, they were men, mankind, and some individuals, people, they worshipped a group of jinn. And these jinn accepted Islam. They didn't know it. The jinn accepted Islam and these people didn't know it. And they continued worshipping them. But the ones that they worshipped themselves, now they became Muslim. The jinns, this group of jinn, they became Muslim. So here then this verse was revealed about this. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ. These people, those ones that they are calling on, they themselves are seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They themselves are hoping for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They themselves are fearing the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Another reason, or what has been mentioned likewise from the reason or the revelation of this verse, is that it was referring to Isa and his mother and Uzair alayhim salam. That those people who are calling on Isa, for example, he himself alayhi salam, he himself is seeking nearness. And Uzair, the Jews, they're calling on him and worshiping him besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. He himself is afraid of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He himself is in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for His mercy, and hoping for His mercy and fearing His punishment. The author, he mentioned the proof, the detailed proof for the trees and the stones. وَدَلِيلُ الْأَشْجَارِ وَالْأَحْجَارِ. Yani the evidence that there were people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who worshipped trees and worshipped stones. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, فَرَأَيْتَمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you not seen Lat wal-Uzza وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you not seen Lat? Lat was a rock. It was a rock that they worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Uzza is a tree. And likewise, Manat was another stone that they worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.